Hi, welcome. Welcome if you haven't been before. I'm Deb, and we've been looking at some foundations to help us to live as victorious Christians. And today we're going to look at our name, which I feel really excited about, so bear with me. So, if I was to ask you to sum yourself up in three words, I wonder what you would say. So I'm going to give you a few seconds. You're not going to have to say this out, by the way. I'm just going to give you a few seconds just to sum yourself up to yourself, honestly, on the inside. What would you call yourself? Be honest. So what do you think of yourself? When you look in the mirror, what do you see? And I'm not just talking about what you see on the outside, although sometimes that's really telling, but I'm actually talking about on the inside. You could think, well, I'm a mum, I'm working in an office, I'm a teacher, I'm a plumber, I'm a nurse. Is that who you are? No. That's what you do. I'm talking about who you are, who you think that you are. So you might think, well, I'm a success. I'm a nice person. I'm a trier. I'm an overcomer. Or you might think, I'm a failure. I'm a reject. I'm an addict. I'm a victim. I'm a bully. You know what came to mind when you thought about this. The interesting thing is that we live how we believe. So whatever came to you on the inside when I asked that question will shape you, and that's how you live. For most of us, life has defined us. Our DNA comes from our parents, where we get our looks, characteristics. There are genetic factors, which is we call our nature. And then there's also our nurture, which we learn from our upbringing, our family environment, our family relationships, how we see people relate, how people relate with us, and that's nurture. Sometimes we're defined by how others, what they say to us, what they call us, and how they treat us. But we form opinions of ourselves, and we develop coping mechanisms, belief systems, value systems, our thought processes from those things. And they're good and bad. So the good bits of you will be the bits that you like about yourself. They'll be the acceptable things. You might like how you look. You might like how you speak. You might like how you sing. There might be parts of you that you like, nice aspects of your character. But there might be parts of you that you don't like. Some of your behaviours, some of your attitudes, some of the things that come out of your mouth, some of the way that you feel. For most of us, we're probably a bit of a mixture. We've got some nice things, and we've got some things that we're not quite so fond of. Outside of God, I don't need it yet. Outside of God, we live according to what I've just explained, and we get all of our needs met from the people and the world around us, where we can. You look around and you find, you know what you need on the inside, you know what makes you feel good. And we learn to get that from the people and the environment around us. It might be, what can you do for me that makes me feel better about myself? Or how can I feel better about myself? This might be at a subconscious level, you might not be aware of it. But what happens is we start to control or manipulate. We use people, we can become a bully because ultimately we need to feel good about ourselves. Or equally, it could be the opposite way around. We may need to be needed so much that we allow ourselves to be used, to be bullied, to be controlled, exploited, manipulated, when we become a victim. Might be a little bit of both. We have some areas that we're really confident in, and we have some areas where we are not. So before knowing God, we can only live this way because that's the world that we are born into. We are ruled by our soul needs. And these are our soul needs. We are created with needs. In the beginning, when God created us, he created us with needs that he desired would be met in him. When things went wrong with Adam and Eve and we were separated from God, we still have these needs. The need for acceptance. We all need to be accepted. The need for affirmation. Everybody needs to be affirmed. Everyone needs to be loved. Everyone needs to feel like they belong. Everyone needs a purpose. Everyone needs to feel safe and secure. Now, we will find our own individual personal ways of trying to meet those needs. And sometimes when we can't, that's when we turn to other substances, or that's when we look elsewhere, and that's where we get ourselves in a right old pickle because we get ourselves in real messes. But no matter how hard we might try and change the way that we've learned to cope, it's very difficult when you're trying on the inside. It's really difficult to change yourself. In fact, it's impossible because we weren't supposed to. But when we become Christians, we've looked at this in detail, and I'm not going to go into it in detail now particularly, but there's a huge transformation that takes place on the inside of us. So we live our lives up to the point of knowing God. We are body, soul and spirit, but we live as body and soul because our spirit, which is the part that is created in eternity from the heart of God, it's the part of us with our destiny that is agreed in eternity. And when we become born into this realm, into this physical realm, our spirit comes on the inside of us, but it's not active, it's not alive, because it needs to be connected to God to become alive. And until we know God through Jesus, it's on the inside of us, but it's not connected. So we live as body and soul, through our physical body and our soul on the inside, which is our mind and our will and our emotions. That's what we function. That's the place that we call our heart. That's where we say, well, that's who I am. But the truth is that actually the real who I am is the person that God created me to be, which is able to access once my spirit becomes alive. And until that point, I struggle on trying to meet all my needs and trying to live the best that I can. And some of us live very good lives, but we live them not in connection with God, which is ultimately his desire and his heart for us. So we come to a point where we may realize that we want a relationship with God. In fact, most of us here probably came to that point where we thought, I need a relationship with God. We recognize that we're separated from him and we want a relationship. And we realize we can't earn it, we can't work for it. There is nothing that we can do to make ourselves good enough to have a relationship with God. There's a huge gap between us and God, which is sin. God can't look upon sin. He can't have anything to do with it. And that's why Jesus came. Jesus came to bridge the gap for us so that we could have an access to God. He paid the price for sin. He paid my debt that I could never pay because he was God's son and he was perfect. He died in our place. Romans 6:23 says, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. So God made a way that we could have a relationship with him, where we could come into a relationship where all of those things will come from how he feels about us and not from what we try and get. So by recognizing this, we come to the cross through Jesus. This is the place of the cross. This is what it's all about. Jesus died. He took my place. He took your place so that you could have a relationship with God. Everything in my old life, I can bring to the cross and I can exchange it for a new life. The life that God wants for me in Jesus. Death, I can exchange for life. Sin and sickness, I can exchange for forgiveness and health. Bondage to sin, I can be free from the bondage to sin. How amazing is it when you know that you can't help something, that you can't stop something, that you can't help doing something, thinking a certain way, and Jesus makes the way so that we can be free from that. Old nature, which is a way that I couldn't help sinning, I couldn't help doing wrong things, I can exchange that for a new nature in God. My guilt, God sees me as innocent through the cross of Jesus. My condemnation, I'm set free, I'm pardoned, my debt is cancelled. My sinfulness, I can exchange for righteousness, my judgment for justification. That means Jesus stands in my place and God looks at me and it's just as if I never sinned. And I was a slave to sin and I can now change that for righteousness. It's an incredible thing to know that Jesus took my place, that I can leave all of that left-hand side behind and I can go through and I can be a new creation. Jesus paid my debt so that I could be restored and reconciled with God. And that's what we celebrate when we come here, when we thank God, when we thank Jesus. That's what we're doing because we enter into a relationship with God. And there's a complete transformation that takes place. And this verse is so key for us. Sorry, this scripture is so key for us. But there's exchange in this passage that I'm going to read. It says, "The Spirit of the Lord, the Eternal, is on me. The Lord has appointed me for a special purpose. He has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to repair broken hearts, to declare to those who are held captive and bound in prison, be free from your imprisonment. He has sent me to announce the year of Jubilee, the season of the Eternal's favour. For our enemies, it will be a day of God's wrath. For those who mourn, it will be a time of comfort. For those who grieve over Zion, God has sent me to give them a beautiful crown in exchange for ashes, to anoint them with gladness instead of sorrow, to wrap them in victory, joy and praise instead of depression and sadness. This is a good deal. This is a good deal. This is what Jesus did for us, that we might leave the old behind and come into the newness with him." So basically at salvation, this is what we get when we invite Jesus into our lives, when we ask God to forgive us through Jesus. We get a new birth. So the Spirit, which is on the inside of us, which doesn't connect anywhere, which is just there, it becomes alive. And do you know what that means? That means that God comes and lives on the inside of us. God lives on the inside of us. We have a new identity. We become a new species. We're no longer called a sinner, a wretch from our old past. We become a new species. We're called Christians, which means saints, which means holy people. Or get a new title as well, a saint, a holy person. We cut a new family. We become one of God's children. We get a new life, a life free from sin. A new start, our slate is wiped clean. How many of us have done things in the past that we're really ashamed of, that we wish that we hadn't done, that we can't walk free from? In Jesus, our slate is wiped clean. That means it doesn't change what's happened in the past. What it means is you don't have to live in it anymore, that you can walk free. You don't need to be a product of your past anymore, because when we become Christians, we are products of what Jesus did on the cross. That's the basis of our new life. And we get a new kingdom to live in, the kingdom of God. We live here in this physical realm, but there's a spiritual realm. There is God's kingdom. And once we enter into it, we enter a whole new kingdom and we live by God's rules, by God's laws, by what he says. That's what we need to come under. And we get a chance to fulfill our destiny and know God intimately and rule the spheres of influence. The most important thing for us is to enter into a relationship with God. And from that place, as we get to know him, each one of us here has a purpose. You have a destiny. God wants you to bring his kingdom rule, the rule of heaven, here to change the world around you. Sometimes you can hear about being world changers and you can think like, well, it's all a bit out there. Actually, God wants you to change your world. And that starts with you ruling your own life, living all of those things and affecting the atmosphere around you. Bringing righteousness, bringing justice, bringing joy, bringing peace, bringing healing. Just like Becky said, when we go to this event, that we will bring the kingdom of God. Who cares what anyone else is doing? We will be bringing heaven to earth through us and releasing it. And that's God's heart for each one of us. And as we grow in that, we will increase and God will give us more responsibility and our destiny might increase from there. But the most important thing is that God comes and lives inside us, in our spirit. We become spiritually alive. We become supernatural people. And that opens heaven to us. Our spirit opens and it becomes a gateway and a doorway where we can access heaven, where we can directly encounter God, Jesus, Holy Spirit, angels, seven spirits of God, all the things that we learn about here. The fact that God is in us means heaven is on the inside of us and can flow out. And we have access into the heavenly realms, which we need to learn to engage with. So God now looks at us through Jesus. That means he doesn't look at us and see our past. He doesn't look at us and see our sin. He looks at us as righteous because Jesus is righteous. We are the righteousness of Christ. That means he looks at us as pure, as cleansed, as holy. Now, on my own, I'm absolutely nothing. I'm this ditzy little thing, as you all know. But actually, with God on the inside of me, my part of changing kingdoms means I'm now in Christ. That means everything that Jesus is, I am. That means everything he's done, I can do. That means I am a conqueror. That means I'm an overcomer. I'm a joint heir. But I sit in the heavenly places on a throne. But I can sit on God's knee, that Jesus is my brother. We could go on and on and on for the next 10 minutes and tell you what it means. It's incredible. There's an incredible transformation that takes place. Here are some of the things that the Bible says about when we become Christians, who we become. Who does God say I am? I'm a child of God. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become the children of God. If you've asked Jesus into your life, you are a child of God. What's your name? Child of God. I belong to God. Fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. Who are you? You belong to God. I am the apple of God's eye. I am loved by God, cherished by God, and highly valued by God. How awesome is that? If you know Jesus, that's you. You are the apple of God's eye. Who are you? I'm the apple of God's eye. How does that feel? Squirmy or lovely? The Lord appeared to us in the past saying, I have loved you with an everlasting love. I have drawn you with loving kindness. Jeremiah 31:3. For he who touches you touches the apple of his eye. I am a friend of Jesus. No longer do I call you servants, for the servant does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends, for all that I have heard from my Father I have made known to you. I'm blessed. Do you know that you are blessed? Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ Jesus with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. I am chosen. What's your name? Chosen. But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special. I am beautifully, marvelously, carefully, fearfully, and wonderfully made. Who are you? Beautifully, marvelously, carefully, fearfully, and wonderfully made. I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works, my soul knows it very well. I'm not making these up. I am known by God. Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. I'm victorious. I am more than a conqueror. Now, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. None of this is about us. None of this is about what we can do. It's all about what Jesus has done. And because we are in him, this is who we are. I am the righteousness of God. For our sake, he made him to be sin. So Jesus took our punishment. He took our sin, who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. That enables us to come into the very presence of God, for God to look at us, because we now wear robes of righteousness, which is, means we're covered by Jesus. I am redeemed, forgiven, and sanctified. Come now, let's reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they shall become like wool. Jesus has cleansed us. The blood of Jesus has cleansed us from all sin, which means we are now being brought back to God, we are forgiven, and sanctified means made clean, made pure, made holy. I'll leave that there for a second. Now, that's quite impressive, isn't it? We just know that on the inside of us. So I would have a destiny that was agreed in eternity. Before being born here, God had plans for me, and it includes all of that stuff, because that's actually who I am. So in every area where my past is holding me back, I need to let it go, and I need to come into the revelation of what God says about me. Before I even formed you in your mother's womb, I knew all about you. Before you drew your first breath, I had already chosen you to be my prophet, to speak my word to the nations. That was for Jeremiah. But Jeremiah wasn't God's favourite. You're God's favourite. So if God says that over Jeremiah, he's going to say that over you. He knew you. Before you were even formed, that's what it means about being formed in eternity. Your eyes have seen my unformed substance, and in your book were all written the days that were appointed for me, when as yet there was not one of them even taken shape. That's what destiny is. That means there was a plan. There's a book written about each one of us with incredible things that God has for us to do. And no matter how much we've messed up, it's not too late. It's not too late to embrace that freshly today. When my spirit is restored in relationship with God, I can fulfill everything that God has for me. The key is what? It's identity. It's how I see myself. It's what I believe about myself. It's who am I. Now, I'm going to tell you a bit of my testimony. I'm not going to go into it in great detail because I've done it fairly recently, but it is kind of relevant now. So many years ago, I've been a Christian kind of since I was a little girl, but many years ago, I really turned away from God. I turned my back on God for 5 years. I didn't want anything to do with him. I rejected him. I rebelled against him. All I knew to be true, I just thought, I'm doing my own thing. It's time for me. I don't want it. Over a period of time, people were really praying for me, which I didn't like. It wound me up because I knew that praying worked. I didn't want it. During that time, I hurt a lot of people. I didn't do things I'm very proud of, and a lot of people got hurt. Over quite a substantial period of time, I knew that God was drawing me back to him, and I didn't want it, thank you. And I fought, and I fought, and I kicked, and I screamed, and I really didn't. I didn't give in easily. At the end of this process, I knew God was talking to me, and he said very clearly to me, I love you, you're mine, and I want you back. And I said, well, I don't care because I don't want you. And it was an ongoing battle between my soul and my spirit, which was already alive because I'd already known God, and I just walked away from it. At the end of this, I had an incredible encounter, and I surrendered to God afresh, and I broke, and I said, God, I am so sorry. And there was a time of restoration with God and restoration with Mike, and it was a very emotional time. And it was a time that my life changed. It was a time where I was baptized in the Holy Spirit, where I really encountered God for the first time, that transformed me. I became the Ready Brett girl, you know, for those of us who are a bit older. There's an advert on the telly of somebody eating Ready Brett, and they had this big like glow around them, and I was the Ready Brett glow girl. And I did. I glowed. But do you know what? Even though that encounter happened, my name for myself was unworthy. Even though God had drawn me back, I just thought God was on my case, you know, sort yourself out, woman. My name for myself was unworthy. And I was the Ready Brett girl. I was all of those things, but I didn't feel worthy to pursue God. I couldn't speak in public. I couldn't do anything because in my head, how do you think you can do that after what you did? Who do you think you are? You don't deserve forgiveness. And I had all this going on, even with this incredible encounter. Anyway, that was that, so we'll park that over there. Some years later, we were up here, and we were doing a course called Captivating, which is all about, it's for women, but it's about how women see themselves and beauty coming from the inside, and it was quite a life-changing course for many people at the time. And one evening, we were talking about how God saw us and our names, and I didn't know that my name was unworthy that I was calling myself, but we had this verse. It says, I will feed you with hidden manna and give you a white stone. Upon this stone, a new name is engraved. And we were talking about God giving us a new name, a name that would define us, not a name that we have called ourselves. For many of us, we've got secret names that we would use for ourselves that no one else would know about. The experience has given us that we were very good at wearing masks, and you may not know what's going on the inside of me because my mask might be very good. But we were talking about this and the fact that how God sees us, the name that God gives us, is who our identity needs to be. Isaiah 62, 2-4, you will be called something new, something brand new, a name given by none other than the Eternal One, and you will be the crowning glory of the Eternal's power, a royal crown cradled in his palm and held aloft by your God for all to see. People won't talk about you anymore using words like forsaken or empty. Instead, you will be called my delight, and the land around you married, because the Eternal is pleased with you and has bound himself to your land. Isn't that incredible? Well, we were sent away for the next week to go and ask God, what was my new name? God, what's my new name in line with this? As usual, for me, at that point in time, well, I won't hear anything. God never speaks to me. Everybody else is going to go back next week with a name, but I won't. I won't get one. Yadda-da-da-da-da-da. I'm sure no one here relates to that sort of bad attitude. I know unworthiness, inadequacy, negative, poor me. Doesn't bode well, really, does it, to be in great faith to hear God's new name for you. Anyway, who else knows? How do you try? Worse it gets? Yeah. No, just me then. In one of my more chilled moments, I was praying, God, why can't I hear you? What's going on? Why can't I get a new name? What's wrong with me? God said, you've already got one. And I'm like, huh? They haven't? I can't hear you. I'm asking you and I'm not hearing anything. And God said to me, think back. Think back. When I pursued you, you didn't want me. You didn't want anything to do with me. You continually rejected me, but I pursued you relentlessly. He said, your name is sought after. I was like, oh my goodness, I broke, as you can imagine. Something inside of me just broke. All that time, I thought God was just on my case. I thought God was just saying, get a grip, sort yourself out, behave differently, live differently. And here he was telling me, I pursue you relentlessly because that's how much I loved you. And my name was sought after. That's incredible, isn't it? That was the first time that I was able to look into God's eyes and I saw his love for me. That there was no condemnation, that he didn't see me as guilty. And for the first time, I let go of shame because I realized that the name that I'd named myself was from the enemy. And I had allowed myself to be called that for all of those years, even though I'd had an incredible encounter with God. I was still living in the past. I was still living according to my old name. And at that point in time, I embraced it. It transformed me. I received it and I started to live in it and I started to know it. God has a name for you just like that. Probably not sought after because that's mine. God has a name for you that is so personal for you that will transform your life. Another time, I was praying about destiny and where I fitted in, and, you know, just like, what am I doing, blah, blah. And God said to me, you're a warrior princess. And I'm like, what? But I liked it. Something on the inside of me and my spirit really liked it. And it went in deep and I received it. And I started, yeah, you laugh at this picture now, because I was trying, this is Boadicea. Last time I did this, I used some PowerPoints and some pictures that I don't think I was supposed to use. So I was trying to find one and it didn't matter. I thought, well, that's a proper statue, so it can't matter if I use that one. But when I started to meditate on what was a warrior princess, this is warrior queen, Boadicea, I saw myself with a chariot. I saw myself with a great shield and a sword, and I was dressed in armor. And I saw that actually I fight. I fight for righteousness. I fight for justice. I fight for people's freedom. I'm like, yes, something went deep down on the inside of me. It resonated with my spirit and I agreed with it. And I started to grow and I started to embrace what God had said to me. And I grew into it. You live how you believe. I suddenly changed and I believe I'd been sought after. So I lived as if I was loved. I believed I was a warrior princess. So I started to act like one. It's really important. We live how we believe. So don't let your past define you anymore. Don't let the world label you. It's labeled you for long enough. Let God speak over you today and give you a new name straight from his heart. You have a destiny to fulfill and you have an enemy who wants to keep you from it. But Jesus has set us free so that we can embrace everything that God has for us. You have a name that will reflect who you are, how God sees you. It will be personal to you. When you come into agreement with it, you'll be forever changed on the inside. This is a story in the Bible, and it's about a lady. It says, in the crowd was a woman. She had suffered from an incurable menstrual disorder for 12 years and had spent her livelihood on doctors with no effect. Now, I've underlined and boldened these. It had kept her miserable and ritually unclean, unable to participate fully in Jewish life. She was a bit of an outcast. She couldn't join in. She was really quite isolated. Miserable, in fact, and unclean. She followed Jesus until she could reach him. She touched the fringe of the robe Jesus wore, and at that moment the bleeding stopped. Jesus, stopping and looking about, said, who touched me? Someone in the crowd. Everyone speaking at once, not me. Can you imagine? Not me, I didn't do it. Not me, I didn't do it. Another in the crowd said, it wasn't me either. Peter and those with Jesus, Master, what kind of question is that? With this huge crowd all around you, many people are touching you. On all sides, Jesus said, I felt something. I felt power going out from me. I know that somebody touched me. The woman now realized her secret was going to come out sooner or later, so she stepped out of the crowd, shaking with fear, and she fell down in front of Jesus. Then she told her story in front of everyone, why she touched him, what had happened as a result. This is the bit. Jesus said, your faith has made you well again, daughter. Go in peace. Isn't that incredible? She had been defined by what was going on with her. She had been defined. She defined herself, her culture. She had been isolated and rejected. What did Jesus call her? Daughter. That really made me cry last night when I saw that. It's incredible. So let's ditch whatever you want. Might be trouble, nuisance, pest. Be quite mild, isn't it? Whatever it is that you have been labelled as, unwanted, you know, forsaken, hear what God says to you. I can pray with you, and I can say, this is how God feels about you. This is what God says to you. This is the name that God has for you. And that would be nice, wouldn't it? I could say, God called you beautiful, beloved, precious one, princess, mighty man, overcomer. I could say all those things, but you know what? I don't need to do that anymore, because we have access to the Father. We have access into heaven. where you can go, we are going to step into heaven in a minute, and Jesus is going to speak to you directly with your new name. Once upon a time, we didn't have access to do that, but we do now. Once Jesus speaks to your heart, once he speaks deep in the inside of you, that can transform you. Because no one can take away your experience and your testimony. Much more powerful. And then you can take hold of it and you can start to build on it. The most important thing for us comes out of our relationship with God and our identity. From that place, we can start to grow, and responsibility and government and all those things can follow suit. But we need to start our relationship. When Jesus rose from the dead, when he defeated sin, and that place where we can have the exchange, he tore the veil. That means the part that separated God from us is no longer there. Jesus ripped that right apart. That separated us from God and from heaven. Now we have access to the heavenly realms and to the Father, and we can encounter Jesus face to face. It's a very powerful experience. So, shall we do that? Let's do that now. Can you put that music on for me, Dave? So let's just relax for a minute. Let's just close our eyes. Let's just relax together. Let's just engage our imagination. Imagine that that you're on a beach. And you want to take a walk on the sand. So you take your shoes and socks off. Just imagine the sand between your toes. Feel the warm sand, the sun is hot, there's a nice gentle breeze. The waves are gently lapping in as you walk to the edge of the water and you let your feet get wet and you just feel really chilled and relaxed. You turn and you see someone walking towards you. And you know that this is Jesus. As he gets closer to you, you start to feel excited because you know that this is Jesus and he's walking up to you. Stops in front of you. And he stoops down. And he starts writing something in the sand. It's a message just for you. Names. writes on that pebble or stone. He walks back to you. Place it in your heart and look at the message that he wrote to you. God has said to you. We've talked about the DNA that we have from our parents, but as children of God, we have a new DNA. We have God's DNA, which will transform us into His image, where we become truly children of God. So allow Him now to bring that truth and that for your DNA to come in alignment with the light, sound, and frequency of heaven. If you're struggling a little and you didn't see Jesus write you a message, you don't feel that Jesus has spoken a name over you and you'd like some help, and please find someone from the ministry team that is dotted around, and we would love to pray with you. But you have a name. You are not forgotten. And you can take that now and start to meditate and build upon it. Go back to this place. And allow this to grow within you. So for those that want to stay in this place, we'll just continue to play some music. And if anyone would like any prayer, then